Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
Paul says, Jesus, the very essence of love, came to this world and loved on us. You know what we did to him? We crucified love. True love. In fact, I think if Jesus came back, and you might not think this, but think about it. If Jesus came back today, they would crucify him again. It would. Because we are in this world, but he has called us not to be of this world. He said to lay our life down. He said to live differently. And when Jesus said that, he knew that this was going to be hard. He wouldn't say, well, you guys just try and do the best you can. Just kind of love each other and, you know, I'll see you in a couple thousand years. He didn't say that, right? He said he wanted us to go against the grain, against the hate of this world, against the nature of people to be selfish. He said, I want you to be selfless. But he knew that we could not do it without something, without a power. And that power would come from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read that. This is what he said in chapter 1. We're just going to look at two of the verses. He says this. He says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Again, he's the Messiah, right? They've been hoping for this. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons, and that the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power. You might want to underline that in your Bibles or notate it. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at the Bible, when I read the Bible, I try to put myself in the position of the apostles, like I was back there. And I could just imagine, they're all standing around, and imagine what they had gone through already. They're listening to Jesus talk, right? They followed him for 3.5 years, and he was crucified, and they were heartbroken. They were crushed. Oh my gosh, they crucified him. He's supposed to save us. Then he rose from the dead. Then they're excited again, right? Wow, he's back. This is going to be great. Great. And then he's, what, you're leaving again? Oh. And the emotional roller coaster thing that they must have been on. What is going on? And he says to them that he has to leave. He says, what? I'll be back. That's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's Jesus. He was the first one to say that, but he didn't do it with sunglasses on. He said, I'll be back, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't a thing. It isn't a force like Star Wars. Be with the Force. No. The Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. And actually, so Jesus is saying, hey, when he says, I'm going to come to you, and again, there's some of that Trinity talk, like God's all, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son are all one. But he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And this is the cool thing, is that instead of just Jesus just being one man, the Holy Spirit can be with every Christian all over the place at the same time. Isn't that cool? But he says, I have to go. And then I'm going to send the Spirit. Now, you can imagine kind of their discouragement, because Jesus had been saying this, okay, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you power. And how many of you guys know when you read the Gospels that these guys didn't really get it? If you read some of the disciples, they didn't just understand what Jesus explained so many times what he was going to do. I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to have to die, I'm going to have to do these things. And he talked about the Holy Spirit, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But they're going, what? Right? You ever like that? You just listen. Maybe you're doing it right now. What? Hopefully not. But I know what happens. I remember falling asleep. I remember almost nodding off during one of Pastor Zach's sermons out in Hermosa, Hope Chapel, Hermosa Beach. It was so funny. But I never did actually totally fall asleep because I saw somebody fall asleep and Pastor went right up to him like, hey. I said, that's not going to be me because there's like about 300 people in this room. But anyways, you know, they're excited. Now remember, they thought the Messiah was going to take over Jerusalem, right? He's going to get on the throne. All right. Wow, you know, gee, he rose from the dead. Wow, that's amazing. Now, when Jesus died and he rose from the dead, he did something different than anybody else has done. Now, when I say that, I don't mean he was dead for 30 minutes, came back, and wrote a book about it. Okay? I'm saying he was dead for 3 days, buried in a tomb with a giant rock over it. The rock moved, and he came out, and he was like, hello. Right? You got to put yourself back there, and you got to think about how these guys reacted. They were thinking, this is going to be awesome. He's back from the dead. Nobody's going to mess with us now. We're going to go into Jerusalem. We're going to take this baby down. We're going to put him on the throne. We're going to all have positions, because you know they all argued about who was the greatest, right? They weren't the most humble guys. The Holy Spirit had to come and do some of that. But they thought, man, this is great. We're just going to walk into Jerusalem. People are going to be like, didn't we? Wasn't he? What's going on? What's happening? And then he says, I got to go. But you just got here. You only been with us 40 days. I got to go. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I promise it's going to be great. And so he rises up into heaven, and then they're all just standing there. If you read on in verse 9, it says they're just still gaping into the clouds. I mean, what would you do if somebody all of a sudden, I was just talking to you, well, everybody, I've got to go. What's happening? What's going on? They're staring up into heaven, and then these two guys, obviously they're angels, just appear out of nowhere. They're all dressed in white. That's how you know they're angels. The angels were marked by white, right? No wings necessarily. And they say, why are you guys staring up in the sky? Really? We've never seen that before. I mean, we've seen them do a lot of stuff, but that's new. And so he says, look, you know, he says, go. Just go. Wait. He'll come back in the same way and wait for power to come upon you. Now, this power, this is great. There's about three things that Jesus said in there. Did you notice? The very first thing, and this might be a little bit off topic, but I need to say this. The very first thing that he said is, it's not for you to know the times or days when the Father will establish his kingdom. Hear that, okay? See, our focus is not to be on the time of Jesus' return, but to be ready for Jesus' return. That we need to live lives that reflect what the lives that we should be living, right? See, a lot of times people want to try to find out, well, Jesus is coming back. What are the signs of his return? You know, what's going to happen? When's he going to come back? And there's nothing wrong with studying that. Please don't get me wrong. But some people, they focus so much on it. And Jesus, how many times does Jesus have to say it? He says at least 4 times. No man will know the day or the hour. Don't worry about the times. He said, don't focus on this stuff. But people do. Why? It's interesting. But is it worthy of so much of our time? And so He says, let me give you an example. You guys know, if you go in Matthew 25, there's a parable of the bridesmaids, or it says the 10 virgins, same thing. And it's an illustration. And he's saying, the bride is the church, and Jesus is the bridegroom. And the bride, she doesn't know when the bridegroom's coming. So she's waiting. She's just put on her makeup. I don't know. I don't think you ladies put it on like that. It's like jabbing your eye or something. But she's doing her, she's putting on her face. She's got her gown on. I mean, she's ready, right? I mean, she's not sitting on the couch with a bag of Cheetos and the dress thrown over the chair like, yeah, whatever, he's going to be here. No, she's waiting, right? She's waiting. The bride is ready in anticipation of the Lord's return. That's you and I as the church of Christ, as the bride of Christ. We are to be anticipating his return. And so this word watch doesn't mean to coldly observe and calculate when he's coming back. Watch means to be vigilant. It means to be anticipating, ready. And how many of you guys know when you're living in sin and you're not being disobedient to God, you're not really excited about his return? No, come back tomorrow. Next week. Promise I'll be better next week. Next week. Right? Thank God for his grace and his forgiveness. Amen? So, the second thing he says is this. We're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit in order to do Jesus' work in this world. We don't have to do it alone. Notice Jesus didn't say, oh, just, try and be good people. Figure it out. I'll be back. Right? He said, no, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does so much, and we don't have time this morning to go into all that he does. But the main purpose of the Holy Spirit to reside within us when we ask Jesus into our heart is so that we can do the will of God. That's why. Yes, to comfort us. Yes, to give us strength in hard times. Yes, all those kind of things. To do miracles, right? To lay hands on people. To see healing. All of that. But the main purpose is so that we can be his witnesses in this world. Isn't that good? Well, we got work to do. We do. We do. Christianity is it's a different way of living. It's an alternative lifestyle, if you will. It's a way of living not of this world, but we're living for him. Now, we're not to just be like Jesus. Now, this might trip you out. We're not to be just like Jesus. Did you know that? We're to be Jesus. To have his Holy Spirit is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. What? How can I be Jesus? Exactly. You can't, but he can through you. You just have to be submissive and willing to let his Spirit work in you and through you. Your personality is not going to change. You're not going to float 2 feet above the floor and go, yes, yes, my son, yes, my daughter. And I'm sure Jesus really didn't act like that, but that's a picture that we have of him. You're going to be you, but God is going to be working through you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that good? We don't have to strive in our flesh to be like Jesus. We can be Jesus to the people around us. But we have to let go of ourselves. That's the struggle, yeah. Die to it. That's why he says, die to yourself, take up your cross, all these kind of things. Now he says, talks about baptism. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The word baptized just means to be immersed. You know what immersion is, right? You ever dunk somebody in the water? Or hold them down a long time? Recite the 100th Psalm or something like that, you know? I forget which one's the longest one. I don't do that, not really. I've used that joke way too many times. So, to immerse in the power of God's Spirit, basically you're just seeing God have your way in my life. Now, there have been times where the apostles, they laid hands on people and all these kinds of things, but you don't even need that. It's a condition of your heart, right? It's a condition of your heart, and you're just saying, Lord, use me as you will. I'm tired of trying to live this life on my own way, on my own terms. It stinks. God, I want you in my life, and I want you working in me, because I know it's going to be so much better. It's going to be powerful. I want to do good things for you. You just, and he will come into your life. I'm not going to get into all the technical things of that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're a Pentecostal church. I know you guys might not think. It doesn't really seem like that, because that terminology has to do with our theology. Basically, what it means is just we take the Bible at face value for the most part. What it says is what it says. You know, we don't try to reinterpret a lot of it. And if it's meant to be taken figuratively, we'll take it figuratively. But we believe the Holy Spirit still works today in us. Amen? You ever try and do something without power? This week I was working on working on my patio in Lanai. I was preparing the ground to put pavers in. And any of you guys ever done that? You know how hard that is? So, and you know how hard, if you guys aren't familiar with Eva Beach, we have only so much dirt and then there's coral. So, bright me, I have a pickaxe, right? And I'm just like, you know, I got my safety glasses on. I'm just trying to my hardest, and I'm out there and the sun is coming up. Oh no, here it comes. And I'm just burning and I'm just sweating. I'm going, this is not working out. So instead of trying to do it myself, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go down to Home Depot and go ahead and put this. So I got one of these. I got me some power. It's a demolition hammer with a shovel attachment, and boy, I was able to take that yard apart in like minutes. I was still very tired. I'll be back. Okay, we could lose the picture. You can move on. Sometimes, see, if you really want to get the job done, you need power. Amen? And God has said he will give you power to do his will, power to do his work. We try and do it ourselves, it's not going to be easy. And how many know that people's hearts can be hard? Just like that ground, be hardened. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, he can break up the hardened ground. He can break up those hardened hearts. Sometimes you try and share with people, and you're thinking, man, this is just bouncing off of them. But it's the power of God through his Holy Spirit that gives you the power to break through that. You're not going to do it. God's going to do it. Now, every Christian is called to be a witness. What is a witness? A witness testifies to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with their speech and with their life. Think about it in this way. What is a witness? You guys ever sit in a courtroom? I don't mean just be on TV. When we were kids, I can't remember why we were doing this or what class, it was some kind of field trip, but we actually had to sit in a courtroom for, I think it was civics or something, and we had to see all this stuff go on and see a trial. And they have, the witness takes the stand, right? And what do they do? What does the witness do? They testify, right? They have to tell the truth about what they saw. Yeah, so did you see this person get stabbed? Yes. No? Yeah, okay. You know, did you see the body? Did you see what happened? Right? And so they ask all these questions. And the witness has to be what? Truthful. They have to speak the truth. And you and I are called to be witnesses to the world of the truth of Jesus Christ, of his gospel message, of his good news that he has came to save us from this world. See, people know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whoever would believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. But they forget 17 and 18 that says that God came to save the world, not to condemn it, right? And then it moves further on, it says, but those who do not believe in the Son of God are condemned already. Whoa. What? Yeah. Jesus is the only way out of this mess. And the only way to transcend it. The only way past hate, past all these things that you're seeing, to live a different life, to live one full of peace and joy. And all the turmoil and all the storms of life can be going on around you. But you can have clarity. You can have, and you can testify to that clarity, the truth of the gospel. What's the second thing about a witness that's really important? They got to tell the truth and they got to be what? Credible, right? So, you know, you can't have a, you know, Jimmy Two Teeth or whatever up there, you know, like the local mafia snitch that's like, yeah. You know, I saw him do it, you know, and he's just totally not credible, right? Nobody's going to believe this guy, right? Did I do that right? You're laughing. I think it was like, that looks really weird. But you can imagine that, right? Yeah, I saw the guy. And you're going, Honor, we can't listen. The plaintiff here, you know, we can't listen to this guy. This guy's not a credible witness. He knows where the bodies are buried because they buried them there. So we can't listen to him, right? So when we're a witness, not only do we speak the truth, but we got to make sure we're credible. In other words, our lives need to, here it comes, reflect Christ. Amen? And I know that's hard because sometimes we get down on ourselves and we feel bad, but that's why we get called hypocrites, is if we say something and we do another. Now, yeah, we're not perfect, but let's not use that as an excuse, right? I'm saying, you know, let's not be bumper sticker Christians. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm just saved. Well, that's good, but you're saved for a purpose. It's a whole lot easier for you to have an impact in somebody's life if you're not doing the complete opposite of everything that you're saying, right? Right? So it's not that you're, no, it's not about being perfect, but it's just about saying, I want to be like you, Lord. And when you mess up, you go, I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me. He says, I forgive you, right? It gets you, get back up and you keep going. The thing is, when you stumble and you fall into sin, that you don't fall on the ground and then lay there and roll in the dirt and go, oh, woe is me. I'm such a dirty sinner, dirty sinner. Because you look ridiculous. Get up. I'm such a dirty sinner. Get up. Jesus is like, come on, come. Then he pulls you up, dust you off. What are you doing down there, playing with dirt? I mean, I know I made you from dirt, but Timmy, you're more than dirt. I love you. I breathe life into you. You have a purpose in this world. You're not a hypocrite. You just had some rough times. Go and be my witness. Do what I've called you to do. Amen? Isn't that good? God is so awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We bless your holy name. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the empowering and the immersion that we can have in you and that we continue to be filled with you to do your work. And Lord, sometimes we just don't feel worthy. We don't. We don't feel that we're worthy of you. But it's not about being worthy. It's about being willing. If you're here today and you're willing, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm not sure about all that power and stuff, but I want God in my life. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. If that's you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong in my life. Forgive me for my anger and what it's done to the people around me. Forgive me, God, for my unfaithfulness, impurities and things. And cleanse me and wash me, God. And Lord, would you fill me with your power? Immerse me in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come into my life and just immerse my life. Take over and show me how to live for you. I do confess that I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you rose from the dead, and you have power over life and death. Would you breathe your life into me? In Jesus' name I pray. And just if that's a prayer that you prayed and you're bold enough, would you just go ahead and raise your hand up and you say, this morning, you know, I prayed that prayer. Anybody? Praise God. Anybody else? You're saying, I prayed that prayer this morning. Praise God. And you don't have to be here on a Sunday morning to pray that. You can think on it some more, but don't think too long, but pray on that. He is the only way to salvation. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Go with us, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.